Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled Skills to Pay the Bills, featuring Josh Braden and Rob Schutz, who's been on the show before, but this is his first time on a Domain Sherpa review. And on today's show, we play the domain game featuring ArisFunding.com, Speed.ai, Pay.ca, and StrikeTeam.com. And then we've got the NameJet in a Jet segment, sponsored by NameJet, and we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including Lance. .com, privateclasses.com, comfortsystems.com, and mime.org. The Sherpas also get into how they evaluate pricing and purchasing domains and how the use of comparable and competing options helps in the process. They also talk about exact match domains and if there's still value in those kinds of domains in light of the changing search landscape and how using AI tools has changed the way people look for things online. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And huge shout out to DNWE, short for Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trading platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domain names to make it quicker and easier. With a community of over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and portfolio auctions. DNWE is part of EW3N, a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that also operates DomainManage.com, which is a global sales platform, and Brandable.uk, which is a marketplace for UK and co.UK domain names. And also, big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN-accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on-chain and access crypto investors. With 3% commissions, at-cost renewals, and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated, they're a cutting-edge marketplace you need to know about and use to keep your costs down and get more sales. Unstoppable can save you thousands in registration costs. They have $5.com Fridays and $5 off all transfers in. No promo code required. A big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. And last but not least, some upcoming domain conferences to mention. We've got NamesCon Global coming up November 5th and 6th in Miami. Go to namescon.com for more information and to register. Use coupon code DS20 to get 20% off the ticket price. And on the topic of domain conferences, the ICA has got their annual member meeting coming up, taking place January 15th to the 17th at the Park MGM in Las Vegas. Go to ICA.Vegas for more information, and we'll see everybody there as well. All right, so now with all of that, it's time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J on, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review, where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves. These are the experts, the OGs, the best in the biz. We got a pseudo-special guest today. I'll get into that. There's four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. Yeah, Braden, you're always the pseudo special guest. Just because you're special don't mean you're a special guest. You know what I'm saying? And there's four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We've got the grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas. We see what's going on with them. We talk about some related things, some unrelated things. Then we got the domain game, where we hear what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on the price. We keep score somehow, some way, someday. Going to get some swag to the winners. You know what I'm saying? We got some new, we got the Sherpa Island hoodies. These will be, you'll see these live in person at NamesCon in November. And then, who are you going to eat first? And then we got NameJet in a Jet. We review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet. We see what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. And we got grand closing, where we discuss anything we haven't covered already, what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends, current events, allowing our guests to mention and promote anything they want to talk about that we've not already discussed. With that, let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my right, we got my boy Josh Reason, a.k.a. Bjorn Borg, a.k.a. Prince Harry, a.k.a. Harry Kane, a.k.a. Prince Harry Kane, a.k.a. Chicka Chicka Slim Shady. aka DNX, It's Dark, Hell Is Hot, and X Gonna Give It To You. What's up?
X Gonna Give It To You. Yeah,
X,
what's up?
X Gonna Give It To You.
Yes, yeah. All good, man. All good. Just happy to be back in my routines. You know, did we do a Sherpa last week as well?
We did.
Just back on that Sherpa grind and all good.
That pure
happy
uncut Sherpa
right now. Yeah. Yeah. It feels good to like get back into like a good, you know, few hour routine of, you know, buying domains and chatting with my people and, you know, doing some spaces, doing some Sherpas, just getting in the mindset, you know, getting real nerdy.
Getting locked in.
Updating DNX.
Yeah, do a little bit of that.
I like how you threw that out too. You're like, it's nice to get in that routine of doing a few hours of work per day.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's hard to get out of.
The last couple of days, I've been grinding pretty hard on like the buying. So I've probably done like 6-7 hour work days. And I'm just like, oh, bro, like end of the day, I'm like, my back's hurting. Like, Christine, don't talk to me. This is like, I've been grinding all day, you know?
And she knows. She's like, you've been buying today, haven't you? I can tell.
I can see it. I can see it. She's like, you need the three fingers of scotch right now. I got to bring you the drink, let you ease off of that hard day's work. You in the digital mines, baby. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's it.
That's right. Take no, but shovels. Hey, like 2-3 hours of hardcore domaining, it's tough. That's tough.
I think it's an underrated aspect of, for me, like whenever I'm away, you know, as much as I enjoy being on vacation and traveling, like coming back, like there's always that initial wave of like, oh, there's so much to dig out from. But getting back in the routine feels really good. You know, I don't know. I get really sort of edgy if I'm away for too long and I feel like not in sync with my stuff.
100%. Yeah.
That, you know, and I got to get locked in, you know. So.
Because so much of this stuff is real time, too. You know, 100%. It's like, and it happens quickly and you need to move quickly in order to take advantage of the opportunity. So when you can't do that, you're like, you also have the FOMO of like missing out on the opportunity.
FOMO was real in your inbox. My last week.
When I was in the UK, I was texting Rob actually, and I was like, dude, I got to get back. Like, my neighborhood's falling apart. Like, people like driving all over my grass in front of my house. Like, I need to get home, you know?
Yeah. And I remember responding, like, who is this? How'd you get my number? Then we figured it out later.
Oh, now you guys are locked in. Yeah. Well, you know, Josh's neighborhood is pretty serious over there. You know, I remember when, you know, we talked about this story when, 4th of July, like almost got into it with his neighbors and he's like, oh yeah, but I'm going to be the asshole British guy telling my neighbors to stop firing off fireworks on 4th of July, you know, like.
Are you like, still bitter, Josh, about the Revolutionary War? Is that something?
Yeah, it hurts a little.
Yeah.
Hey, look, USA, baby, undefeated. You know what I'm saying? Undefeated. Let's get it.
The fireworks are just rubbing it in your face.
It's like everyone that goes off, he's like personally offended.
Another.
It's like right to his heart.
Hey, for anyone taking that seriously, I love it here. I got an American passport. I was super happy when I came back this summer. You my people.
Oh, that's good, man. I like that. So keep that in mind, y'all. Josh is one of us. But yeah, so what's going on? You know, the big issue in your neighborhood right now is these e-bikes, man. These kids are flying all over the place, like unlicensed, you know, young kids going, you know, and said, actually, there have been a couple kids hit by cars and Amazon trucks and, you know, life.
One of them was on our street right before we left, like a UPS. I think it was a UPS driver. Oh, no, I think it might have been
Amazon. Yeah.
It was the Amazon driver. The kid went, my wife saw it, like up in the air, landed on one of my neighbor's like front yard.
Holy shit.
And then ended up having to get a helicopter to the local hospital. I think it's still pretty bad, man. But
yeah,
like it's been like 2 or 3 months. I had to go into an induced coma. But there's been multiple stories like that recently. But yeah. I don't know. I try not to talk too much about it because honestly, I got obviously a lot of parent friends that, you know, happily give their kids these e-bikes. But honestly, I think it's crazy. I think it's actually crazy. Those things go so fast.
Yeah, and they wear like,
yeah,
they're wearing helmets.
Some of them, but like a lot of helmets, it's not strapped. It's not strapped, so it just flies off anyway.
Yeah, well, and the helmet's not going to protect you so much. I will say though, I do think that this more the younger generations have done a better job of wearing helmets when they're biking than we did as kids, right? Like. Mm. I was actually having a conversation.
I never wore a helmet. Buddy,
no, never. Like, I still don't. I bike to the gym occasionally and, like, you know, I never wear the helmet. I've got a buddy of mine who does, like, Ironmans and that kind of thing, and he fell off his bike recently. And if he wasn't wearing a helmet, he'd probably be in the hospital right now. So, but I just, you know, but I think younger kids, they all wear helmets. When you don't see them running around with helmets, it actually stands out a little bit. But when we were kids, I mean, you know, we were also drinking out the fire hose and not the fire hose, the garden hose and doing all that. You know, we were latchkey kids with zero supervision. But these kids, they got these bikes. They go like 20, 30 miles an hour.
That's the problem. It's the speed, right? Like we were just freaking pedaling and going like 10 miles per hour or whatever. And like, even when you're going fast, you have some control because you're pedaling it. Like, they're going 30 miles per hour and
flying through intersections. I mean, and I feel really bad for the Amazon driver. You know what I'm saying? You hit a kid on a bike, you got to feel pretty terrible about
that. Dude, he was crying. He was sitting up next to his truck crying, bawling his eyes out. I mean,
that's crazy. Well, hey, so be safe out there, everybody. You know what I'm saying? Just keep, that's the ultimate
transition, JT.
Just, everyone's like watching the show like this. It's like tears coming down. I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh, dude.
Hey, if Jermaine Sherman doesn't make you cry, you're not doing it.
Yeah, you're not fully invested. You know, you're not paying attention. All right, let's keep it moving. We are in the intro. This is what happens. Next up, we got my boy Braden Pollock, a.k.a. Tony Stark, a.k.a. Benjamin Button, a.k.a. Eat Bray Love, a.k.a. Braden Statham, a.k.a. Braden Pollockton, the Archduke of Calabasas and the Viscount of Woodland Hills. It's not that your domain is worthless. It's just that it's worth less. What's up, bruh?
Howdy.
I know last time you were like, I kindly request more different a.k.a.s, and I haven't done it yet. So just so you know, I've been busy riding my e-bike.
Drew's out of town. What have you been doing? Nothing.
Exactly. Somebody's got to do the work. Who's going to carry the boats, Braden? Who's going to carry the boats?
Nobody.
Big shout out to Drew, though. He's enjoying, they're off in the Italian countryside, just, holidaying, doing what they do, summering still.
You need to give him a shout out. He's not going to watch this.
He's never going to watch it. Oh, it was the other day, dude. I was talking about the show we did when Daniel was on, and he's like, oh, yeah, he did good. And I'm like, oh, you watched it? He's like, no. I'm like, come on, man. At least he had a positive reaction to Daniel, you know? So shout out to Daniel as well. But what's crazy, though, is like, because here and where we are, kids are back to school already. They went back to school like a week ago. So I don't know. What's up in Jersey? Are you guys, when did the kids go back? Is it soon? Is it already?
I'm in Jersey.
Rob,
it's confusing to everybody because he's introducing me.
I know, I'm introducing Braden, but I'm looking
at
Rob.
Jersey, where I don't live. So
I'm locked in with Rob.
He sees a bunch of handsome guys, and it's hard to tell them apart. I understand.
Those gray beards.
Hey, all I was saying, I just know Braden's not sending kids back to school. You know what I mean? So I was just like, and then that's where the topic was leading. And I was like, oh, now I got to.
The topic was not
the
leading
fourth
there.
Wall just, and bring Rob in before I've introduced him.
The topic was not leading there. You just randomly, after introducing me, like shifted to kids.
I was just something about it. Well, my kid's name is Braden. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, you know.
That's,
so.
Oh, that was your segue? That was in your
that
head?
That place.
Hey, you know, hey, it's all good. All right. Well, hey, with that, welcome back to the show, Braden. It's great to see you, man. You good?
Thank you. I realize that you're on the spectrum. How's that working out for you?
It's great, man. It just depends
on
what side
spectrum,
I'm on, man.
And it's just a question of how much.
Exactly. I think everybody in the domain space is on the spectrum somewhere. It's just, you know, my thing is I think I shift to different points of it at different times. You know,
depending
on
who you're with as well, right?
Like a squirrel.
Like you can buckle shit up real quick if you're with the right person.
Hey, there's value in that. You know what I'm saying? And being able to shift on the spectrum. This has gotten really off the rails, and we're not.
You know, and you are quite red right now, and I'm loving observing this. This is more of a roast than it is a
exactly. Somehow I've lost full control.
It's not. It didn't get off the rails. It was never on the rails.
There were no rails. That's my secret cap. There are no rails. All right. Well, let's keep it moving. Because this was it's always fun. Always good. But I don't know, Braden. You were freezing a little bit there. Let me see. I'm on the right internet. That's all that matters to me. So as long as I'm not freezing. But all right, let's keep it moving. Last but certainly not least, and this is what I meant about the pseudo special guest we've got on the show for the second time, but the first time doing a Domain Sherpa review, we've got the one and only Rob Schutz, a.k.a. Rob Report, a.k.a. Rob Roy, a.k.a. Snaggletooth, a.k.a. Snag Gonna Get the Bag, a.k.a. Rob Shuts It Down, Shuts It Down, a.k.a. Rob Shuts the Front Door, a.k.a. Rob's Bad Mother Shuts Your Mouth.
Oh, my God. This is my favorite part of the show, JC. Thank you so much for that.
Hey, man. It's
all beautiful. Great. Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me interact with other human beings as well. I know there's a lot of decisions behind the scene, whether that's a good idea or not. But yeah, it's great to hang. Great to hang with everybody. Thanks for having
Thanks for sending the doctor's note that approved it. You know what I'm saying? So it's always good. And
There's a lot of decisions behind the scene. There are no decisions behind the scene. He's just like, who will come on?
No, I thought he meant
that really devalues things for me. So
I didn't think he meant it that way. I thought he meant it like he needs to get like approvals from like doctors and medical professionals to be able to appear in public. That's what I thought.
Usually it's the police. But anyways, it's great to be here amongst friends. So thank you for having me.
Oh yeah. Oh, you thought that's what this was. That's not awkward at all.
Taking it back.
Well, what's up, bro? It's good to have you. All right. So are your kids back to school?
Kids are not. My kids have been away because I have kids and I live in New Jersey. My kids have been away at summer camp for the last 7 weeks, just got back a couple of days ago. And we don't start school till after Labor Day, actually. So,
yeah, that's crazy, man. That's what I was saying. I know up north, where I'm from originally, and from
Pennsylvania.
I used to dwell. Yeah, PA. And I was in Jersey for 6 years, maybe, because that's where my wife's from. So, so all that. All that stuff, man. We were in Tinton Falls, Red Bank, that area for a while. That's, you know, so.
New Jersey,
man.
Lovely. Well, it's great. It's great. We're so pleased to have them back. Slightly less efficient these days, but it's good.
Yeah, no, all good, man. Sleepaway camp for the win, man. Let's go.
Big time.
All right. Well, that is it for the intro. Everybody's here and accounted for. Let's dive into some actual domain name talk. Let's do the domain game. Josh, you want to set it off with a buy or a sell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I did a buy last week, so I'll do a sell.
Okay.
There's so many.
I know, obviously. He's pulling a Drew where he shows up and it's like, wait, what? We're doing the domain game? This is crazy. I've never heard of
that. You know that I sent an email 12 hours ago.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm pulling a Drew.
You know we do this on every show.
I don't have any big ones in the last week. And it's never that. I don't know. Here's one. ARESfunding.com. ARESfunding.com.
ARESfunding.com. All right. We put the guesses go on the phone, Rob.
You know we put them on our telephone.
That's what we do. You can use the calculator app. And then when we say 3, 2, 1, we flip it. You know, if you actually watch the show, you'd know how this works, but it's fine.
What show is this again?
Exactly. Well, that was what was weird when your email and response was, what is Domain Sherpa?
Yeah.
But he heard Braden was going to be on, so that was actually...
When people put things in my calendar, I show up. All right.
I'll tell you, actually, it's funny. Well, we'll do... I know, I'm going to get into it real fast. So I'm getting this kind of weird spam shit now where I actually am getting some weird meetings that are showing up in my calendar, and it's like not like AI, you know, join this AI webinar of some shit I've never signed up for, you know. Which is really, really awkward. Really? You know, and it's like, I want to show up just to tell them to stop inviting me.
Yeah, that'll show them.
The AI is going
to
be like, oh,
you know what I'm going to do to teach you to stop is I'm going to do exactly what you want.
All right, returning, exactly.
Let's go. Flip it. Ooh, okay. All right. We got Rob. For those of you who are only listening and not watching, Rob's at 6,500. I'm at 10,000 and Braden's at 12,500.
It was 4,888.
Ooh, so that means Rob with the point. Bang.
Boom.
Look at that. Yeah, all right.
I've been selling a lot of names at 4888 recently, and they all kind of follow a similar type of pattern, you know, like strong keywords followed by like a suffix that represents an industry of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and we've talked about this and you've talked about it on the show. You do have certain words, you know, I think you've said solutions and maybe you've said funding, you know, blank funding, blank solutions, blank this, blank that. That's like a bit of a pattern for you.
Yeah. That's one of my, like, that's kind of like my go-tos. There are a lot of them, right? Like, so like in the financial sector, you have finance, financial, funding, fund, capital. Like, those are the five main ones. And funding is probably the worst of those five. But you can typically get better, let's call them SLDs, keywords, with worse suffixes.
Right.
ARES doesn't, like, necessarily look that strong on the surface, but it is very strong. Those do well.
Yeah. Well, isn't Ares the god of war or whatever? Isn't that like,
something like that?
Yeah.
You know,
Greek god of war. It's
Latin names and Greek names do very, very well as well. Just in general, some of my favorites.
Strong,
another thing
there.
I told you, Rob, is that I like Latin and Greek names. So
yeah,
it's one area of the domain game where, I like to play.
Yeah. See, he wasn't lying to you.
Yeah.
Well, we'll put that one in the not lying column. Start to balance it out.
Got to balance.
Exactly right. All right. And Rob's got the point. So, how long did you have it for? What'd you pay for it?
It was either like a hand registration or a closeout. I think when I looked, I had it for about 2 years, maybe.
Okay. 2 years, turning about somewhere around.
Gosh, when you get those types of inbounds, like, is your expectation someone is looking at Aries wildcard? Like, they're looking at all the different suffixes, they're looking at different TLDs, like, and does that play into your calculus for, like, the price, where you're like, hey, I'm trying to be able to sell this for 25 because I see that Aries capital or whatever is available for 25? Like, how do you think about pricing?
Yeah, so that type of name, I've now moved to pricing every single one of those type of names at 4888. For 888. And the way that you're thinking about it is actually part of my buying decision, as opposed to my pricing decision.
Got it. So how much you're willing?
Prior to buying IRSfunding.com, one of the things that I would have done is I would have checked on IRS Finance, IRS Financial, IRS Capital, and if any of those were available to register, I probably would have just passed on it because it just said it wasn't like a sought after TLD. If they were priced, any of them were priced under 5K, again, I probably would just pass on it because then you've got competition with a better suffix. Right. But if they're all taken, they're all in use or not for sale, then it's a viable option for me.
Got it. As long as it is not over a certain price threshold.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not paying more than like $50 for these type of names.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just to set the price, buy it now, and that was it, right?
Mm. And so I do this same kind of research if I'm looking at a alternative extension other than .com, so net, org, io, etc. I look at what's happening with the .com, or if it's like a plural that has the same value, that sort of thing. Got to look at the competing names, if they're on better extensions or just a better iteration.
100%. Look, like, exactly. When you're investing in alternative TLDs, in my opinion, it's so important to look at, you know, what other TLDs are available in, you know, with that SLD, because you know, if you're buying a .net or a .io, and then, you know, the .xyz and a .co are priced super low, you know, it makes it hard for you to ask a lot more money, because most savvy buyers, they're not, when they're venturing off into different TLDs other than .com, they normally have multiple options.
And that's like on the buy side. If someone's coming to us and they're like, Aries is the name, Like, yeah. Usually they're like, Aries is the name, we're in financial service. We want something decent, right? Like, we'll run it down. Same thing. We'll look at the prefixes, suffixes, other, you know, I'd say secondary TLDs to see what the options look like. And if they're like way out of whack, it doesn't make sense, right? They don't care that much about that specific name. So I think it's smart on the pricing side, like has to be like cheap enough where it's like, sounds good. Like it doesn't make sense to go spend, you know, 3x, 4x that on like a slightly better name even.
Right, exactly.
But it's important as it relates to pricing, because if you're pricing alternative TLD, you've got a whatever, a .io, and you want 50 grand for it, but there's a co and an XYZ for 5,000, you know, you're probably never going to sell the IO because people be like, well, I'll just get the co because it's so much cheaper. So you have to look at the competing prices, especially when you're buying it. I mean, what if one of the other versions is available for hand rent, or somebody's got it listed for $500? You know, you're just not going to make any money.
I'm curious, and not to take control here, JT, because we have so much content to get through, but like,
okay.
Josh and Braden, when you're evaluating those and you see that they're taken but for sale without pricing, they're just like make an offer, how do you evaluate that as part of the decision making process? Like, so, if it's like Aries Financial and Aries Capital were both for sale, make an offer, would that play into how you think about?
No, so yeah, it would. In my mind, like, and I'm, don't forget, I'm doing this like fairly quickly at like some scale. In my mind, I consider make offer as essentially not for sale. Like, to me, make offer is creates so much additional friction compared to the ability to just hit a buy it now, that because there's no price at all on the make offer, there's no suggestion of whether it's, you know, 5 grand, 10 grand, 20 grand, 100 grand. I just consider it not for sale. It doesn't play into my, if it's not listed on Afternic, for example, right? But it has a lander that says this is for sale. For me, that's not for sale.
If I'm looking at a .com, which is presumably the highest value, right, of all the TLDs, and all the other TLDs are for sale, whether they make offer or priced, there's a lot of competition. So I don't want to spend a ton of money in the .com, and there's a lot of alternatives out there, knowing that mine is going to be the most expensive. So that's definitely a factor that plays into whether or not I even want it. Right.
Yeah.
But they're all developed, right? They're all developed by end users. Then I've got a keyword that's in demand, and I've got a better version from an upgrade standpoint, and then from just new companies that come along, I want that keyword. But if they're all available, then there's not a lot of usage. There's not a lot.
You're not going to get a premium on that if everything's available.
Yeah. And I think you make a really good point about use proving value, right? Obviously, like at the various aspects or variables or whatever. If something's got a price that's really high, do you look at that? Does that also sort of put it in that, hey, that's not truly for sale? If there's a price on it that's, you know, just kind of absurd, do you kind of look at that the same way?
Yeah, I mean, it helps me set my price. So if I've got a better version of that name and I can be competitive against that price, then it's not just price competitive, but from a perspective of it's a better name, it's more competitive.
Yeah, on these intricacies as well, it's worth mentioning that, like, when you're talking about high value names versus low value names, now it's a little bit of an adjustment. Like on a high value name that you're spending a lot of money on, like Braden's talking about, you want to actually see that stuff is not only not for sale but actually in use. Like brands are using it as opposed to just like somebody's holding it. While on the smaller names, where what you're looking for is like more just like churn and burn type sales, like for under 5K, it's not as important.
Okay. I think that all makes sense. That's good stuff, guys. A little secret sauce for everybody, you know? So
we got through one. We only have been through one.
Yeah, so far.
12-hour podcast.
That's it. Hey, everybody, it's like Joe Rogan, you know? So everybody just buckle up. You're in for a while. So put on the Depends and stay glued. You get to this age. But yeah, all right, Braden.
Getting up there.
So speaking of this age.
Nice.
Braden, what do you got to buy or sell?
Oh, we're doing that?
You're still in the domain game. I know. It's crazy.
There's been a lot of action lately. I've had a lot of offers. A lot of them have declined. And a lot of sales. I mean, I'm like pretty much at average or a little bit higher than average of my annual sales already this year, and it's mid-August.
Nice. Yeah, well, I mean, we knew you were killing it kind of earlier. We talked about some of the Sword and a few of the other
But even small names, and names, there's been a handful of sales that I have not unfortunately I've not been able to report because of NDAs, but it's been pretty good. And then a lot of LTOs. I put a lot of on Domain Easy and AppNic, we put a lot of our sub $100,000 names available for 12-month LTOs, and that's proven to be pretty good. We've had a good solid handful of those.
Great.
So
share? I mean, you tell me you got many to choose from.
All right, let's go with, this was just a few days ago, speed.ai.
Ooh, it's a good one.
Mm.
Speed.ai, I love this name.
Josh, what's that little grin there? Yeah, what's going on there?
No, it's just a really good name.
Great name.
Anytime I hear a good name, I just can't contain myself.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, ooh.
All right.
Ready? Three, two.
Wait. Okay.
Bang. All right. So Rob is at 135,000. I'm at 150,000. And Josh is also at 150,000.
You want to, should me and you guess again?
Why don't we do this? One of us should take 100. You want the over or the under?
Are you giving me the choice, huh?
Even matter. So, what are we doing?
Well,
dude,
yeah,
stop.
It might be Rob. It might not matter. I'll take the over.
You'll take the over. Okay. So I basically got 149,999 and you've got 150 and above.
I mean,
okay.
Statistically,
I know he gets a wider.
The over was better, right? Than to be bracketed between 135 and 150.
But we know that
it's like, when we're talking about the pricing of these names, it's like, to me, that 140 feels real good, right?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Kent, this is exciting.
Well, technically, I guess 140, you're not only that, you're losing. You're actually at 142. You're really, even half that is your real window.
That's what I'm saying. It's a pretty small.
Well, that's because, look, I'm the host. I can do what I want to do. I said, I'm going to be the better person and I'm going to give Josh the choice. And he chose correctly. Well, let's find out if he was actually right.
He was. So 165.
Ooh, okay.
And I had this underpriced. It was priced like, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something when I bought it. And when the offer came in, which was like 75 or something, he started at, I saw 165. I was like, oh shit, this is too low. And, I repriced all my AIs at that point because they're all too low. I mean, there's a bubble. I think AI prices are going to settle eventually, but right now they're high. So I'm going with it. I repriced it and then obviously declined his opening offer. And then he came back with, he wanted a payment plan and we were at something like 270, I want to say, over 18 months. And, but I said, I'll honor the 165 cash just because, it was priced there. And, ultimately he didn't like the payment plan and came back and said, we're just going to pay cash.
Great.
But actually he was going to take the payment plan and they changed his mind and paid cash. So.
Where was it through? Was it through Atom?
It was on Atom. Yeah.
And then
shout out to Zach because he did the negotiating on my behalf.
Nice. And then how much would you pay for it and how long did you hold it?
25 grand. And I bought it in March of last year.
Did you say 25 grand?
25.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, like,
that works.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's a great sale. It's a nice result for you. Obviously, you could have, you know, maybe gotten a bit more, obviously, but, you know, it's still a very good sale. But it also,
according to you guys, though.
No, it's very good. It's very good. But
we,
it's
we
just,
were right.
It goes
we were
to
all
show.
Like, we obviously were very like-minded where we thought you were.
But that's what it takes to buy a great .ai name even a year ago. $25,000.
Well,
and listen, I bought a pile of them at like $25,000 each, but like Stellar, like Castle.ai, like Legend.ai. I bought a bunch of good ones.
That was Castle.ai was mine. I sold it to Andy. Sold it.
I love that name. Yeah. That name is fucking awesome.
I just turned down $75,000 for Octopus.ai.
Really?
You know, I paid some good ones, and so far, you know, it's proven to be right.
It's funny. We talk about .ai's all the time on the show, literally every episode, and you know, everybody knows where Drew stands, and and I do think if there's a bubble, sure, but. Doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. So, and I think there's still real value, and the names are cool and they're useful and they fit, and AI is still, eating the world. So it's like, I don't know, just all makes sense.
Everyone who thinks that it's as simple as Brayden makes it look, you just decline the big offers and then, $75,000 decline octopus.ai. And next thing you know, it's going to sell for 150. Yeah. It doesn't work like that, guys. It doesn't. Work like that.
That's exactly how it works.
Every time I decline a big offer, they're like, oh, fuck you then. And then they come back and they offer half in like 3 months later.
Well, I think the bigger point was what you had mentioned, Josh, after Brayden announced, just gave us all that info, is that, but paying $25,000 for a very good, but yet, alternate TLD, that's what it takes, right? And that's not necessarily easy. It's easy to see a $200,000, speed.ai sale and think, damn, like I should be doing that. But
100%.
Were you willing to put $25,000 up a year and a half ago? I mean, that's,
it's all speculative, right? I mean, you have your convictions and your hypotheses, and AI obviously doing really well, but I'm sure you guys have also seen things go in the other direction and other TLDs that you invest.
100%.
So you see what works, but. Brayden with a big win.
Yeah, it is a big win. That's Brayden.
It is speculative when you're talking about alternative TLDs, which is why most of my portfolio is .com and one word .coms, because I don't think those are speculative at all. They're just cash intensive, right? So there's a lot of CapEx, but beyond that, they're going to hold their value, they're going to go up in value, and they're always going to sell eventually, even if I need to wholesale them. I'm probably will be able to wholesale them for more than I paid, which I don't do. I just wait for the end user to come around. But I focus on that. Is I wouldn't say number of names necessarily, because there's a big value difference, right? If I'm going to spend $200,000 or $300,000 on one .com versus spending $3,000 or $4,000 on a .net, right? So I have a lot of those, but the margins are still the same.
Yeah. Oh, that's what's up, man. Well, good stuff. Congratulations. Nice work. And let's keep it moving. Rob, do you have a buy or a sell for the domain game?
Sorry, I kind of zoned out. What are we doing again?
Well, yeah, it's called the domain game. It's like a contest, and it's the game.
Welcome to Domain Sherpa. Who would be first?
Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to bring, so I kind of have a unique perspective here, because I do a little bit of buying and selling myself, but the vast majority of my transactions are brokering for buyers and some sellers. So I'm gonna bring I'll bring one from, I guess it was now like a few months ago, but it's a fun one. It's a .ca, which you probably don't see a lot. Certainly not on this show.
No, so not on this show. We're the best only.
So there's a good one though. It's pay.ca.
Ooh, dang, son. A.ca.
This is a broken deal?
Yeah.
You represented the buyer?
Correct.
Okay. Pay.ca.
And I had to get permission this morning from both buyer and seller to talk about this.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I put in work for you, JT.
Pay.ca.
I mean, but do we know anything? I mean, I don't know anything about the CA market.
Oh, there's nothing to know. These are the Sherpas.
I mean, I don't know anything about the CA market.
I don't know nothing about it. It's a good sale, eh? All right. Okay. This is all right. I'm ready.
Never going to be able to.
Dylan Hurts to AJ Brown. In the meantime. All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Flip. Okay.
All right. Pretty good.
Josh is at 100,000. I'm at 160,000. And Braden is at 250,000.
Yeah. So the actual retail price, 150.
Yeah.
Ooh. So you got one.
I actually was going to do 150, but I'm like, I went 150 on the last one.
150 US.
Just okay.
That's cheap.
It was a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal.
You did well for your buyer.
Did well for buyer. The seller also did well. He had the name since like back in the early 2000s. He never used it. He had like an idea to build something. There was nothing out there. And then when I approached him, you know, it was a good back and forth, but he was a super nice guy up in Canada. He was like open to a sale, hard to get good comps.
Yeah.
On this one, there was like a pay.com.au that was like a comp out there, but I was like, I don't know that market very well either. But in general, I'm a fan of short character names that rhyme. Like, I think there's actually a lot of value in rhyme, like Ro.co. Like, I'm a big fan of
Ro.co, baby.
I think Ro is like the best possible .co because it's so short and it rhymes. And like pay.ca is pretty dope as well for that reason as well.
Ho.co. It's pretty good.
What, Ho.co? I mean, there's a lot of, if we're just going to start rhyming, there's a lot of.
Yeah, we're going to rap. You want me to freestyle.
It was a great deal. They're doing it over like, I don't know, a 36-month payment plan.
I mean, that's a steal, honestly. Yeah. I mean, because what's pay.com worth? We're talking, what, $5 to $10 million?
Yeah,
at least.
I mean, it's a high seven-figure. I mean, if it sold for $10 million, I wouldn't be surprised, right?
Yeah, agreed. So, I think it's that's an eight-figure to me.
So
there's no market for .ca names.
But my logic was, all right, if the com is worth, let's say, 5 million on the low end, then 5% maybe for the .ca. And that's where I came up with 250, but
I think it's more honestly about you need a very specific buyer for that type of name. Like that has, you know, and they are going to be a Canadian company that is not looking to expand internationally. They're like Canadian all the way. Yep. That is a tough name, I think, to bring outside of Canada. You have to upgrade. Like you can't go global or expand in the United States and have a .ca. So I think that has to be priced in as well, where it's just 100%. Like,
yeah, you know, I actually think, and keep in mind, Braden, you know, this as obviously a big seller of domains, right? You know what the demand is on your names, right? And we talk about this on the show a lot because I'm often surprised when somebody talks about a really good name and they're like, you know, and I've gotten literally no offers on this name for the amount of time that I've had it. So, you know, it'd be interesting to talk to the seller to see, you know, what the level of offers and interest had been if they've had the name for so long. My guess is it's probably not that much, you know, and I think that plays into it too, because it's like, my guess would be that this $150,000 offer was the most legit offer they probably had ever received on the name. And, you know, so I think that plays into it, right? That's the context that they have, is knowing, hey, I've had this name for 10 years and no one's really expressed that kind of interest in it. And I'm at a point where I wouldn't mind taking $150K off the table for a name that I'm not using that is so niche, to Rob's point. So anyway, that's my thought. But, you know, I think it's a good deal for the buyer still. But
it's
a great deal
and a 3-year payment plan.
Let me just give a little context here because I think it's helpful. And it's a little shout out to DNX. If I can go to DNX and look for the .ca names, you know, like incredible SLDs for like less than 10 grand. Incredible. You know, like crowd.ca or like liquid.ca or tool.ca, grid.ca, karma.ca, scout.ca, earth.ca, cybersecurity.ca, 9 grand. Like that's
and that goes back to the whole conversation we had earlier about, you know, this idea of comparable and competing options, which I think is great insight from you guys, because, you know, when you talk about how you price both on the buy side and on the sell side, and take that into consideration. But I think that's great context too. And big shout out to DNX. So.
But yeah, but I mean, like, it doesn't mean that, like, I think that pay.ca 150 grand, in my opinion, I think that's like good buy and a good sale, in my opinion. I think, like, I genuinely think that those are the type of transactions that are just like win-wins, because there's no aftermarket for .ca names, like, unlike, you know, .com and most other popular, like, TLDs. Like, you go, there's a pretty clear aftermarket, but these, there's just no liquidity in those names. So if that seller wanted to, you know, sell pay.ca, they're probably getting, like, I don't know, 10 grand, like, best case.
What's interesting, I agree with you. What's interesting is, like, right after we closed the deal, or I think as we were in escrow, there was, like, an announcement that Shopify bought shop.ca for, like 500 grand or something. Like a really big number. It was, like, shop.ca.
Okay. That makes more sense to me, because Shop is also a great SLD, like Pay is.
But I think that was owned by, like, a Merge Commerce or, like, some much bigger company. So I think that came down to, like, how much did it cost to pry it away? But it was just interesting. Like, all of a sudden, there was this big comp, and he was like, oh, look at this. And I was like, no, don't worry.
Yeah, don't look over there. Honestly, you know, to your, like, to your buyer, you're like, see what kind of deal I'm getting you?
Yeah.
To the seller, you're like, don't look at the man behind the curtain.
If there weren't restrictions on .ca names, there would be a better market for .ca names.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's so regional.
Yeah, well, also, you need to, just like .com.au, you need to have, like, a presence in Canada, right, to even, like, own or trade these names, I believe.
I don't even know.
Pretty sure you do. So, like, same thing with .com.au. Like, if you need to have, like, some sort of presence or entity.
That's the Nexus requirement.
Yeah,
I don't know. Exactly. Yeah, it's funny. We've obviously been doing this for a long time. I don't know exactly. I know .us has the Nexus requirement. I don't know about, I guess .ca does. But either way, look, I think it's to your point, Josh. I think it's a win-win. I think that it was a good price for the seller. I think it was a good buy for the buyer. And I think it's a fucking awesome name for a Canadian company doing payment stuff. It's like, amazing. It's like they literally hit a home run with their name. So good stuff. Good work, Rob. Nice change.
Hey, thank you. I'm just looking for your approval. So.
Exactly. Well, you got it. Hey, nailed it. Here's where we are though right now. So Josh, myself, and Rob each have a point. Braden, you don't. So if you don't mind, if you could provide another buy or sell so that we could do a little overtime round to pick a winner here. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to see. This is where it gets really real.
Mm-hmm. And points for
championship round. You got to get the win, man. You got to want the win, Rob.
I want it.
I mean, I'm competitive.
Like, I refuse to get off this show without a trophy.
I got to get one of those hats.
What, the one of these? This
yeah.
Is sure, Sherpa related, man. This is a Florida thing. This is actually...
I want your hat.
Okay.
Exactly. I don't care. Right. I just want that. Actually, I'm a huge fan. So this brand they're headquartered, like, on Josh's street, basically. So it's called Alter Ego Running. I really am a big fan of their stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Alter Ego. Yeah.
But yeah, they're in your neighborhood, Josh. Good people. Right.
I'm going to get back to the domain game.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Let's do domains.
So you want to talk about something? Oh. You want to talk about your shoes now or anything else?
Dude, man, I got Fresh Kick Friday, baby. I got kicks. What do you want to talk about?
All right. This is an LTO.
Okay.
So, you know, disclaimer, I haven't gotten all the payments yet. So it is what it is. But this is what it's sold.
Fine. Nobody watches the show anyway. No one cares.
That's true. Okay. Striketeam.com.
Ooh, striketeam.com. All right, let's go. Striketeam.com. And we just have to guess the sales price. We're not trying to guess the term of the LTO. That'd be like some next level.
I already told you.
Have to guess like how many months and what the
month. 12 months.
Exactly. Like that's the way you end up. If we have two people that are tied for this one, you have to guess the LTO details. All right. Strike team.com.
Strike team.com.
Strike team.com.
Stop looking for comps, Rob.
I don't know.
Face lighting up on a computer. Around on name bio. Cut it out, Rob.
No, I'm doing something completely unrelated.
Right. Well, welcome back to the show then.
I don't know.
Here we go. What you got?
All right. Turn around. Let's see.
Right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Oh, man. All right. Josh is at 28,888. I'm at 30,000.
I think Brandon marks it up high.
And then Rob's at 55,000. Yeah, Braden is not a fire sale kind of guy. So
keep talking. it was 15 grand. You guys are
Josh with the big win. And he really only got the win because he did the fucking took the over on the earlier round. So in a way, I'm kind of a winner. You know?
This is what you guys forget about me, and I've said this before. I will pick up small names if I can get the right price. And then I put a fair markup, what I think is a good price for the name. And I let them turn. I don't try to moonshot everything, especially the small stuff. Cause I feel like I didn't remember that I'm strike team. It just sells. It's like free money.
Yep.
Brandon, so whenever I reach out about a name though, that's not what you say.
That's not exactly the opposite when you reach out.
Yeah.
This is everything that I own.
I want you to remember this.
That name that you're asking about.
About Bray.
Then see the list and he says plus 20.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say.
I just add the Schutz premium.
Yeah, another zero on the end.
the Schutz zero.
All right. I've had this name for 5.5 years.
Okay.
I paid $1,231 for it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, that's solid. It's a solid, you know, 10 at 10 plus X. And where'd you have it listed? Was that an Afternic or Adam? Where'd you have it at?
That was an Afternic LTO.
Yeah.
All right. I think the lander was actually Domain Easy and they went through Afternic.
Okay.
Could have gotten LTO at Domain Easy. So
But here's the thing. You've had the name for 5 years. This goes back to what I was saying a little bit around pay.ca. It's like, you know what the demand of that name is and what kind of offers and interest, if any, right? So, you know, you have it sitting there, you know, and it goes into your whole pricing piece too. When you guys were talking about, you know, the process you go through, you know, if you've got a name sitting for a long time at a certain price and it's nothing's happening, you know, and you lower the price.
It sounds like this is just more of like your bucket of churn and burns, Braden, right? Good deal. Here's fair price. Throw it over to the landers and like see what happens. Right.
It was a cheap name. I put it up. I don't think I ever repriced it. There was no conversation. There's no offer. They hit the bin, and it's done. Or not. They didn't hit the bin, but hit the LTO, put in their credit card. That was the end of it. And honestly, I didn't even remember that I own this name. So I mean, I like to just price names at a price point where I think it'll sell. Sure. And you know, if it's enough of a margin, in this case obviously is enough. I got more than 10x, and so let it go.
Boom. All right, well, good stuff. And congratulations to Josh for winning the domain game. So I thought Rob had a shot. He got the first point and didn't get another one after that. But
I'm aware.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
All right. Well, that's what's up. Let's keep it moving. We've got about 30 minutes left, if that. So we will we'll get on our hustle here a little bit. We've got the NameJet and a Jet segment coming up where we review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet. We see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like. Actually, it's more like 15 minutes because I know, Rob, you said you were a little tight on time.
It's all right. Let's see where the afternoon takes us.
Yeah, let's see.
Wait. Hey, JT, Is portfolio review coming back by popular demand? I remember talking about this at some point.
Yeah, I mean, we could. You know, we can do anything we want. You know?
Why don't we pick a charity and there's like a fee, something, you know, $100 or some small number to do a review, and they have to make a charitable donation.
I like it. So, yeah. So, hey, now, since this has gone through a lot of conversation and we've been thinking about it for a while, we are now introducing the return of portfolio reviews. What we're going to do is you're going to pay us $100 to review your portfolio. We're going to be honest, though. Be, you know, just so you know, it's going to
be out there on the internet.
Be ready. Be ready for it. But right. Send us. We'll review at least 10 names. You know, a list of 20, we'll talk about 10 at least. And then we will take that $100 and we will donate to a charity. We'll figure
I've
out.
I've got exactly. a great nonprofit, if we're interested.
So. No, okay. Listen,
hey, how, really?
How about they can choose the charity. They make the donation, they get the write-off and they just have to show proof of the donation.
Seems like a lot of steps, but you know, I'm just a guest here.
Exactly. It seems like we did add some extra steps
for the Sherpa crew, though.
Yeah. But, otherwise, then they send it to us. Who do they send it to? Then we have to make the donation.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. That's true. Unless, you know, or we at least tell them where to send it, you know, so we say it's the charity of our choice. So that way they're not like, oh, I sent it to my cousin.
I'm the board chair I'm the board chair for a homeless shelter here in New Jersey. It's called Isaiah House, isaiahouse.org. So I can make a nice landing page if we want it. I'm just putting it out.
I love that. That's what we're doing. Okay. That's what it's going to do.
Or, sorry, Rob, I just had another idea. What about a donation to the ICA?
Oh, that's kind of cool, too. I like that.
We could do like...
Oh, now I'm torn.
Like one week, one... I mean, you guys are both on the board, so you're going to be torn on that one. But we could do like 1 week this, next week that.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Yep. Isaiah's House is definitely on the list. ICA is on the list. All right. So we're going to do portfolio reviews. We've decided. It has been decided. It shall be done. And can someone second it? Second it?
I second it.
And that's it. Look at that. Portfolio reviews are back on Sherpa. Tell somebody.
This is how the magic happens.
Yeah, this is exactly. Drew's going to be like, we're not. What are we doing? You know, I didn't. Like, it doesn't matter. It happened on the show.
For one goddamn week.
This is a lot of work. This is a lot of work for Josh. He's got to get off now and go to bed.
Yeah, he's reached his point of.
Nah, he's got pickleball practice in an hour or so, I'm sure.
No, I skipped it today for this.
Wow.
Oh, nice, yeah. Man. Well, we appreciate that. All right. Well, look, we got the name jet list. If you go to, jokes and quips aside, we will start doing the portfolio reviews again. We absolutely will do it to benefit, you know, a nonprofit ICA, like I said, Isaiah House. Is that what it is? Isaiah House?
Singular. Isaiahhouse.org. Yeah.
Isaiahhouse.org. Love it. And, yeah, look, let's make a positive difference. We might even decide to make it a little bit more expensive or come up with a way. I'd love to really, you know, I love the idea of helping, or maybe we'll even match it, you know, kind of thing.
We're leaning in. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So, more to follow on that, but you know, hit me up on Twitter, hit the Domain Sherpa account on Twitter if you want to submit your portfolio, and we'll probably create an email for that, something like submissions@domainsherpa.com. But that's not it. Maybe it is. I don't know. See, and we're gonna go from there. But it's gonna be good. Looking forward to it. Now, speaking of a portfolio of domains to review and talk about, we got the Name Jack in a Jet segment. If you go to the Domain Sherpa show page, you can go into the show notes and you can download the Excel spreadsheet, which will give you the Estabot appraisal. Take that with a grain of salt. How many back orders as of the time that we put the list together, the order by date, which is when you need to be involved if you want to participate, and just some other helpful information. So hopefully that helps. Remember, this is not financial advice. You may even be bidding against us in these auctions, but don't bid on things we say we like. And, you know, but entertainment purposes only. All right, well, let's keep it moving. You know, Rob, I'm going to start with you, dude, because you are the pseudo special guest. Very excited. You know, you got.
I like how it started as special. Did it start as special guest? And now I'm pseudo special guest.
You were a special guest the first time, you know, and by the next show, it's just, hey, guys, this is Rob.
This is Rob. Follow me on Twitter.
He sleeps on the couch.
Yeah.
Like a dude in Half Baked.
Oh. Not the Bob Saget character.
No, hey. But yeah, so what's good? So you got the list in front of you? What do you like?
Yeah. Like? I mean, Some great names on here. I mean, the ones that stood out to me that I really liked, I liked Lancer. Mm-hmm. Lancer.com. I thought was a good one. A lot of brands using that name. There's a skincare brand. There's a video game. There's like a TV series. There's an insurance company. So like obviously a lot of people using. A couple of the TLDs are for sale, but at decent prices, and it's kind of the winning name. So I thought that was a pretty good one.
Okay. Also, it used to be the name of a car. Dodge used to make the Dodge Lancer. Like a little, like an equivalent to like a Ford Tempo, if you remember that car from back in the day. The Dodge Lancer.
Well, if they want to bring it back, they'll need the .com, obviously.
Rob is only sharing data points that are relevant and meaningful.
Oh, you're saying mine weren't. I crashed a Dodge Lancer.
It's a different strategy than what you're doing.
Not only did I crash a Dodge Lancer, but a friend of mine ended up in the hospital with like low grade amnesia because we never wore seatbelts. This goes back to like when we wouldn't wear helmets on the bikes. It was driving me, my buddy, his girlfriend was in shotgun. We were driving on this windy road in Pennsylvania and they didn't have a great set of stop signs or they let you know the stop signs were coming. Pulled out. I had had my license for a whole 2 weeks, maybe. Pulled out into this like mountain road. I hit the guardrail. Hood flies up in my face. Tires both pop. I overcorrect. I go into the other guardrail, pop the other tires. And then I see headlights kind of coming. So I got to turn the wheel this way and take it back into the original guardrail, at which point the car finally. Yeah, we were pretty lucky. And then the cops show up and they're like, how much have you had to drink tonight? And my buddy's like, I don't remember. And they thought he was drunk, but really it was like he straight up just because he was, you know, bang, bang, you know, like one of those kind of things. He wasn't that bright to begin with, though. So I don't know that
This was in a Dodge Lancer.
This was in a Dodge Lancer, baby.
All right. I understand that's some personal.
Yeah. Personal hell yeah. See? So data points. Continue.
Yeah. Wow. I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, you appear to be okay.
It's a relative.
Or it explains a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. The other one that I liked here, which is probably, I don't know if it's lower value or not, but I really like Baltica. I think the history there is it was like a paleo continent. It was like the early portions of Earth before the continents formed. I just like that it's like very pronounceable. Radio test passes. Baltica, you could see that as a pretty nice open vessel for a lot of different companies.
Yep. A lot of cool brand potential.
I think that's not lower value. I think it's probably a six-figure retail name.
So what do you think it sells for on NameJet?
Well, now that we've open the floodgates.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. 10 grand.
A lot more than 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. 10 ish feels.
Yeah. You're welcome, NameJet.
Good. I was saying, Josh, more like versus a Lancer, where like comparing those two, maybe Lancer there's a lot of upgrade potential from that one. A lot of companies are already using it. Baltica does have a couple, there's a bunch of TLDs that are available for that one, but obviously the .com being the premium there.
Yeah, agreed. Low value to me is like $10.
Hey, all good. All right, cool. So Rob, any others before we before you pass?
I mean, those are two that I really liked, and I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, so I'm good.
That's all good. Yeah, when
right now.
What's that?
It's your thunder right now.
Oh, wow. I'm still my own thunder.
Those
are two I like the most. I mean, mime.org, just because I'm generally a mime fan. So that's me personally. But no, those are two I like.
All right, cool. All right. Well, who wants to go next? Brady?
And mime.org could be good for raising money for all the mimes out there who make no money because they're mimes.
They make about as much money as the sound that they make. You know, so there's a direct correlation. Shout out to all the mimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Yeah. I think many of our listeners are mimes.
They wish we were mimes, you know what I'm saying?
I think that they're, you know, these one word comms, they're names, right? Jaeger and Canoga and Baltica, Astana. I mean, these are names. So they're all brandable. They'll have some value. They're all going to go for at least a few thousand bucks each. So I think those are good. It's a good store value. They will eventually sell, but they're probably long holds. I would dig into all of those and look at the TLDs, look at the other what's for sale and what prices before you just jump in and throw a ton of money at it. I'll let Josh talk about the more brandable stuff like InnerSky and those kinds of names. Polarity and private classes, I think, are decent too.
Okay, man. Well, now you've talked about like seven names, so.
No, I just kind of threw them out. I didn't go deep.
Good job. That's a lot of the
sounds
names.
Sounds like you're really like, just reading the list.
Yeah, that's the Drew approach where you talk about all the names and then you're like, what do you mean? I didn't leave any for anyone else. You know, that's crazy.
I didn't
like,
go
you
deep.
Know, we record the show, right? Like, you know, it's on tape. And he's like, that didn't happen. It's like, gaslight me, motherfucker.
It's the Trump approach. You know, it's all.
What do you think, Brent? Maybe, I don't want to derail. And Josh, I know you're chomping at the bit here.
He's never been on the rails.
What do you think about, so something like private classes, like how do you think about, a lot of your names are brandables, right, that you buy, especially on the .com side. How do you think about more keyword domains? Like, is somebody naming their company private classes? Maybe, probably not. But how do you, like, think about the difference between those two and how you value them on the buy side?
Private classes, like, the first thing I think about is, like, mastermind-type stuff, right? Like, that, for me, would be, like, the most obvious case, but why did mastermind choose mastermind and not private classes or whatever? I don't know. The first thing I think about when I see, like, those exact match-type names is long hold. It's the first thing that comes to my mind, long hold. They just, and also, ROI, long hold and ROI. And the reason why I think about ROI is because they go for way too much at wholesale relative to how well they do at retail, in my opinion.
Yeah. And we've seen that on the sales side. We've been helping people want to sell some of their names. Like, these exact match keyword, like, longer tail names are tougher to command premium prices around. Like, the dynamic is shifting a little bit on search, and like, there's exceptions to that 100%. There's great sales that have happened in that world, but harder to get much higher premium prices on the keyword names from what we've seen with some of the shift in search and the way that people are thinking about, you know, how they allocate.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a buyer say, hey, Rob, like, I need to go out and get my industry matching
EMD.
EMD.
Yeah. We've had a couple. But usually it's one words. Like, usually where it's like a hotels.com style, where it's kind of both, where it's like the brand and the category winning term. Multi word, much less often.
Yeah. Well, what I can say too is that when it's a company's brand and they're moving from like a alternate TLD to a .com or something, and it's a descriptive sort of EMD, if you will, you know, we definitely see that. In fact, we're working on one right now. But, you know, it's an interesting question. Like, Rob, do you have a lot of clients, though, looking to buy exact match domains if it's not related to their actual brand? Like, okay, if a company is privateclasses.ca and they're like, hey, we want the .com, right?
Yeah.
We have plenty of that, right? I don't know that we have any clients currently trying to get an exact match domain that's not directly on point to their brand, like an upgrade or something.
Yeah. You know? And that happened all the time too. Like, people would pitch me. I get pitched probably from some of you guys in years past where it's like, hey, for Roman, it's like edmedication.com, or like, you want to buy anxiety.com or hairlossmeds.com. It's like, no, not really. Like, what am I going to do with that? Are you going to set up an SEO shop and build content out and try and like lead?
But that used to be a thing.
Totally used to be a thing, but just much less common now.
Is it a thing anymore, Braden? I mean, you deal with it on the legal side and some of the other stuff that you do. I mean, is search dead? I mean, are we still buying domains related to search?
It's not dead, but it is so hard now to build up that SEO juice. So to build up across a bunch of sites, it's just not worth the juice isn't worth the squeeze, right? So
that's
much better off much better off focusing on one or a few brands as opposed to a whole bunch. But I think there is some value if you can get them cheap enough to pick up some.
Yeah, get them cheap enough.
And what you're doing is it's defensive, right? You're just keeping them away from your competitor, right? And there's usually some value to it, right? There's some direct navigation, not a ton anymore, but there's some, right?
Right.
And you can put up a lander, like a thin site, and not do much work on it. You'll get a little bit of traction. So there's some value, but just not a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think people are paying a ton of money for those names for the potential to have a bit of upside, right? Like, totally agree, Braden. Like, you'd rather focus on one, build your domain authority around one name. It's hard enough to do that for one versus now we're doing it across all these different sites. So I think it comes back to pricing, right? If someone offered one of those names, it's like a couple $1,000, maybe it's worth taking a shot on it, but it's like, no one's, and we have some things on the sales side too, where people are like, I want $1 million. It's like the category winner. It's like, people aren't really buying at that level for these types of names right now.
Yeah. They're not the buyer either, though, right? It's like the buyer for these names is the new company that wants to position themselves in a way that gives them a leg up at the beginning when the brand is, because if you pick a brand right out of nowhere, let's say it's Paradigm, right? You're starting off as Paradigm that nobody has a clue what you do and, you know, who you are and where you come from. But if you start off with, you know, for example, I own cryotherapy.com. If you're in like the wellness space and you're in like cryotherapy, if you start off as cryotherapy.com, it's like, okay, I know what you do. Like, it can be a brand and it is the exact match.
Yeah,
for that brand.
It needs to be the crossover of it is both a brand and a category winning term, right? Like, right. You couldn't own cryotherapy online, like cryotherapy online, and, well, maybe that's a bad example, like ED medication online. That's right, not right, a brand, right? That's, no one's going to name their, you would much rather be Paradigm than you would be ED meds online and pay the additional money in marketing to get people to know who you are. But that's where I think there's still value, is like, it's the category winning name and or term, and it's brandable, right? Yeah. It's like, you know,
that's why one of the names you mentioned, and when you were throwing a few out that I would push back a little bit, would be like anxiety.com, you know? Mm. And because I think, to me, that's a name that can be a brand. You were talking oneword.coms, but I agree with you. I think when you start getting into ED medication online, best ED meds, you know, shit like that. Well, maybe even best might be, you know, a brand of books.
Well, that anxiety was more
good if you're starting a brand. Like, ro.co is never going to change to anxiety.com. like, that's not going to be their brand. So then it's like you said, even though it would make, for a new company, it would make a good brand, it's not going to make any difference to a company that's already established their brand.
Yeah,
it will. It's much more valuable for a new company that it is going to use it as, right, like,
so, which means that it never makes sense to sell it to anyone that's not looking to use it as a brand, essentially,
right? But then you're also in this catch-22 where it's like, then you're with working on early stage companies that are trying to pick a brand that have less money. And so you're probably not going to get this huge payout that you thought you were going to get selling it to big public company.
But as a guy that founded a company like ro.co, is there something to be said about choosing an exact match category killer name to get you started in a way that gives you an advantage over the competition?
Kind of like let them know what you do type of thing.
Maybe.
Does it give you more authority? Does it give you the ability to go out and raise more money? Does it give you the ability to acquire customers cheaper? I don't know. I think it does, but
it can. But I don't think it's like universal. Like, there's plenty of examples. I won't name them, but I have a buddy that owns like a really good 5-letter.com, and they sell widgets on there. And he bought it with the expectation of like, this is going to be a winner in terms of brand and conversion, and it just hasn't been. Like, they haven't been able to turn the corner on it. It has powered SEO as like a huge acquisition engine. It's driven down acquisition costs. Like, it just hasn't worked out. There's other examples where it certainly has, but I don't think it's like one size fits all for these
yeah, things. It's very interesting. And I think as we enter into this new world of, you know, answer engine optimization, And I think that becomes a really key aspect here, because it's like, as people are doing much more search on, you know, Grok and ChatGPT and everything else, and how you rank and, you know, how you're getting your results and how you're getting found on those kinds of things. I don't know. I guess if exact match domains become, you know, sort of a bit of a cheat code for that, then there could be a bit of a resurgence. But otherwise, I do think you're right. I think so much of the activity that we're seeing in domain sales over this past year and whatever is so brand heavy, for sure. So I think that's all fair points. All right, Braden. So I think you had already mentioned almost every word on the, every name on the list. I'll keep that in mind next time when I'm picking out the order of who's going to talk when. Josh, do you want to talk about the two names he didn't mention?
Sorry, Braden, I love you, man. It's all good. And you didn't pick out the names that I was going to talk about anyway. Ooh, I was going to talk about Astana.com.
Okay.
I think that, for me, is my favorite name on the list, actually. So I think it's pretty widely used brand. I think, like, primarily when you type it in, I think it's like the capital of Kazakhstan. But there is a decent amount of brand usage as well. And it kind of sounds and looks like a brand if you didn't know it was the capital of Kazakhstan. So I like that name. I think it's a good name.
Yeah, well, there's Asana is a, like a, I think, a company, a, you know, project management type thing.
Asana, without the T, yeah.
Yeah, Asana.
Yeah. I don't know.
How do you think about that, though, Josh? Like, yeah, capital of Kazakhstan. Good, bad, neutral? Like, does that matter?
Borat loves it.
Honestly, I think the fact that
it is nice.
I'm sorry.
I can't help but interrupt Josh.
Yeah. I actually don't think it matters that much with this name. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't have a firm opinion. I think, like, it's one of those, though, where you are going to have to fight a little bit on the SEO side, right? So, like, you want to make sure you can show up first for your brand term. Not to say you couldn't with that one, you very easily could, but it is just like another fight you will have to take on, where early on investors, other people looking for your brand, and it's like first 10 results are about Kazakhstan. It's like, yeah, the end of the world, but it's just like another pain in the ass.
Yeah, I agree. It might be quite hard to rank on page one for that, just because of the cat. I do agree with you. Page two, you start to get some other things, but yeah, you're probably right.
I agree. It's a really good word. It passes a lot of the tests. I just think about it in relation to, like, I think it's a bad sign, especially early on, if people can't find you pretty quickly on first couple search results. Like, it's just another hand tied behind your back.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Well, and it's interesting because then you compare it to a name like Baltica, right? Because Astana and Baltica to me are kind of very similar. Where that's a real, I would not have looked at it like that. So Rob, I think that's a very, very interesting angle. And obviously as somebody who's, you know, founded a, you know, big business that has had to fight through search and, you know, and gain visibility and market share and all that kind of stuff, you've been through it. I would look at those two as relatively empty vessels for a relatively similar type of brand. Could almost be anything. But the idea that, hey, this will be a lot harder to build and rank for compared to something that, you know, might be a little bit easier, I think is a very interesting sort of exercise that I don't think a lot of folks go through when they're buying domains. But
yeah, so like, I that's a really interesting topic to me, though, because let's go back to the usage of a brand like the best, most expensive SLDs, right? Paradigm. Let's go with Paradigm. It's going to be hard to rank for Paradigm because there are dozens and dozens of pretty big businesses that are simply called Paradigm. In fact, there are hundreds. In fact,
when you're saying that, you mean like getting the .com?
No, I mean like,
I'm saying if you were going to buy the .com, you'd have to go through the same thought process. Like we're talking,
but I'm saying, you're comparing that to, like, you're saying getting the .com, you'll still have to go through that process.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the way I think about it, and I'm wrong about a lot of things here, but is like, if you're going to pony up to buy paradigm.com, you're also going to put an aggressive marketing strategy together. You're going to invest in SEO. You're going to have a search strategy and likely someone who specializes in organic search on the team, or at least an agency. So like, you're not tiptoeing in because you're probably paying a couple million dollars for that type of asset in the same way you might on some of these other ones where it's like, you're just trying to get up and live and get your Shopify store, you know, humming. But like, do you buy Paradigm? A lot of my clients who are buying big seven-figure names, they have a strategy around search. And you're not wrong. It'll take time. You have to produce content. You have to do backlinking. You know, you probably are producing a lot of content. You're doing cross-linking in the site. You're working on domain authority. That's like a KPI that you're probably focused on internally as a team. But it doesn't mean it's easy. It's just more about like resourcing and what is harder to do and takes more effort and resourcing, and what is something that you could more naturally almost like fall your way into because there's less competition.
Yeah. So does someone like does a client come to you and say like, I've got a total budget for like brand enhancement and, you know, I don't want to, and like, it's not fully allocated to this, to this domain. Like we're going to have to do X, Y, and Z.
I mean, not usually, but usually the price that they're willing to pay on a name is proportionally related to how much they'll be able to invest in that stuff overall. If someone's willing to spend $3 million on a name, that's probably not all of their race. You know, they probably have more
money. Right.
They're tagging towards a lot of these other types of things. But yeah, it's not usually like, hey, we have $5 million to get on the map. Let's put half of that towards a domain and half towards an agency to like rank on organic search. It's rarely that, but it's usually a byproduct of like serious company, serious dollars, and they can apply towards this type of stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, that's great insight.
It was really the way to substantiate shitting on your choice of name, Josh.
Listen, man. If someone's going to buy Astana, they're going to have to put a lot of money into the SEO, I guess.
That's it. More than they would if they get Baltica.
Apparently.
What else? What else you like or don't like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the .orgs. I want to like them, but they're not great ones. If I'm buying .orgs, I'm trying to go for slightly more premium .org names than this. You know, if you get taken.org or polarity.org for a few hundred bucks, you're definitely not going to get hurt. But they're not names that I would go after. And then, you know, Comfort Systems is just like, cool. Again, I would spend a couple hundred bucks on it, but it's not a name that I would go out of my way to try and buy.
Can I ask the group something about like a Comfort Systems? This is me just selfishly learning how you handsome investors operate. So something like Comfort Systems, there's one really big company in that space. They're like $7 billion. I don't even know exactly what they do. They're a big company. They're a big company.
The industry is going to be sleep.
This one is Mechanical, Electrical, and Plumbing Systems, ComfortSystemsUSA.com. Yeah. So, but I'm curious, like, use that as proxy for just this type of question. How do you think about names when there's like one really clear upgrade, but then they're almost so big that no one else is going to buy that name unless those guys do, right? Where it's like, I want to buy this. And then if they say no, I'm just kind of screwed, right? Like, how does that work? How do you think about that? Because
I stay away from them. If there's one buyer, like one buyer, because it's an upgrade for them and no one else is going to touch it because of them, I stay away from it. Because if they don't buy it, you're stuck.
Yes.
It's too much of a gamble. I'd rather have multiple potential buyers.
Yeah. And to tag onto that, I think it's also a question of the pricing, right? So if you can get Comfort Systems at a relatively cheap price where you're not dependent on that big buyer, like to me, until you mentioned that there was a company, I didn't know they existed, right? And because I hadn't done any real due diligence on the list. But, you know, a name like this, when we would talk about it internally, right? To me, when I think Comfort Systems, I would have thought AC, you know, like a local trade, you know, like an AC company, local AC company calling themselves Comfort Systems. Maybe they pay 10.
I think bedding, sleep.
Yeah, which is also good too, you know. But I guess my point is right. So, you know, if I'm thinking of end user pricing for this name without knowing about that big, big buyer, you know, what would you guys put it at? 25,000? Would you put it more than that?
Yeah, this thing is like, when there's one big buyer that, like,
ignore
that.
Ignore the big buyer. Like, they don't exist. What are you listing this name for sale for?
For me, $29,888.
What about you, Braden? Since Josh wasn't really exact.
I mean, I would be half that. I'd be at 15. But again,
That's great, because that's kind of to my point, right? So I'm saying this is a $25,000 retail name. That's kind of where I would have pegged it. So it's somewhat similar. But so that would be without taking that big buyer. And now, if it's a name that is super trademarked, meaning like it's, you know, you've got one buyer because it has no other use. So I'm buying Comfort Systems knowing I'm trying to sell it for $20,000 to $25,000. And if I can get it at a price where that makes sense, meaning like $2,000 or less, then I think it makes sense. If I've got to pay $20,000 because I want to try to go sell it to this billion-dollar company, then I'm out. You know, like my Mark Cuban Shark Tank. And because of that, I'm out. And it sounds like Braden would be somewhat in the same boat. And I think, Josh, would you agree, or would you approach it differently?
No, I'm the same way. Those are dangerous names to buy.
And we get people coming to us all the time that are asking to help sell these names. And there's like one buyer. And it's like, I don't know that we want to even waste the time on this. Like, clearly these guys, if they wanted it, they probably would have taken it off the market. They probably don't want it. So we're going to go try and shop this name to a bunch of other people that are going to be scared of, like, the big company.
I think, again, that comes, so we deal with this a lot too on the brokerage side, for sure, you know, being the number one domain broker in the world. And, you know, so it's an issue that comes up a lot. Yeah, I just, I'm obligated by contract. I have to say it. I didn't even want to say it, guys. I didn't even want to do it. No, but jokes aside. So, but the eval that we'll do, because we get this a lot, where, hey, there's one big buyer potentially, right? And then that becomes a conversation with the client about, okay, well, have you had interactions with them? Like, are we stepping into, do you need us to help negotiate the best possible price because you've had dialogue? Have you not reached out ever at all? Is this sort of just, hey, this is who I think you should go sell it to?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's also, and then I think it also comes down to pricing as well, right? Like, we're very careful of the names we take under brokerage based on the expectations of our seller, right? That's always, you know, literally the biggest conversation is, okay, well, what are you trying to, you know, we'll give you an idea of what we think that the market will bear for this domain, because based on our expertise and our experience, and, you know, we know what we know. Does that line up with the expectations of the seller, right? And, you know, they oftentimes will have this, like, these big eyes around, hey, this is some billion-dollar company. They're the clear best buyer. But if they're the only buyer, you know, that's a very, you know, sort of specific conversation that we'll have with our client around the expectations, because, you know, we're not trying to invest a whole lot of time and effort knowing that, you know, it's, you know, unlikely to be successful based on, you know, because you're right, you have a big company out there and they're going to scare off others, then that gives them an enormous amount of leverage, right? And then that means, you know, then you're, again, we're back to a conversation around pricing. And I think that's a very good point on the Comfort Systems piece. Again, for me, looking at this name without knowing about that big potential buyer and them being the only folks that are out there for something like that. But this name does have a little generic value that I think gives it, you know, doesn't take it completely off the table.
Well, I apologize. I did research on all of these and I prepared.
I'm sorry that I showed up.
Yeah, I apologize. I won't do it again.
You know what? I'm proud of you, man. Thank you. Because this, you're the kind of, I've been waiting for you to just show up and show and set the standard, you know, because
this is how you make it.
He's just new. He comes to NamesCon wearing a suit. You know what I mean? Like, he feels like room, so.
People respect it when you wear a full suit to NamesCon. Everyone should. Anyone listening, you want to be well received and respected, you should wear a full suit.
No one's going to ask you to go get them a drink thinking you're the bartender. You know, don't worry, that's not going to happen. But no, all good stuff, and great way to wrap up the Name Dragon and Jet segment. That was great, guys. There's a ton of great info in this episode, by the way. And I do appreciate your perspective, Rob, your questions and your feedback, because it's what it takes. You know, it takes a village. So all good stuff. All right. Well, we are almost out of time, so I'm going to do a quick round the horn just to see what else is going on. If anybody's got anything that they want to mention that we have not covered, I'll start with you, Josh. What's good?
No,
anything?
No,
nothing new with me, guys. Same as last week. Here, just doing my thing and happy to be here.
All right. Well, happy to have you here, man. And, you know, you keep doing what you're doing. DNX, if you guys, if you're not using it, you're, and I say this to the audience, then, you know.
No, using it. You're losing it.
Is that true?
Scientifically proven. yeah. All right, Braden, what about you, man?
I just hope this trend continues. The offers are coming in and the sales are coming in. I hope it continues, man. It's been good. A lot of action, and makes me want to get up in the morning and check my inbox.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
what about with domains, Braden?
No, nothing there.
Oh, well played. Drew talked about it on the last episode. You know, we had expected, you know, we always expect the summer, you know, it's cyclical, it gets a little slow, and then picks up, you know, late August into early September. But we saw that really pick up over the last few weeks, where almost like the summer was like a month long as far as like sort of like a bit of a, and not even a slow period, but like, you know, for us, it was a little bit quiet. And then it's just gotten pretty active, to say the least. So, yeah, so glad to see that that's happening for you too, Braden. Happy for you. Rob, what's up, man? Close it out. What's good?
What is good? Nothing. Just again, feel really blessed. Thank you for having me on today. It's great to spend time and nerd out on domains. But no, I guess echoing Braden, it's been busy. It's been real busy. There's a lot of activity right now. You know, I was talking to a couple of VCs recently, and they've been busy. Like, I think all these things are interconnected, right? Like people raising money to start companies and then they start looking at assets, right? Like they've been busy too. People have been from the investment community have been sitting on a lot of dry powder for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. The IPO market is starting to open up. New companies are getting funded. It's getting like, wouldn't say frothy, but like it's fluid. A lot of companies are raising big rounds and more companies are coming out of woodwork. And that translates into this world pretty nicely. Like people are looking for assets. So it's been busy. And exciting, and a lot of good, fun, interesting deals in the hopper. So
I love it, man. Well, good stuff. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining. Looking forward to hopefully having you on the show on a somewhat regular basis. You know, I'll keep hitting you in the inbox, you know.
Yeah, let me know what the reception is.
We'll see. We usually, we'll do test, you know, the audience testing.
Yeah.
How it goes. Do the X metrics. See what
first episode was sketchy. First episode was kind of shaky, but we said we'll give it another shot. You know,
I appreciate your trust.
Well, really, shout out to your PR people. They're the ones that really strong-armed us into it. So, yeah. But hey, they're earning their keep. So with that, everybody. So thank you to my guests, co-hosts, whatever, always. And to the audience, thank you guys so much. I say it on every show. Without you, there is no us. We're just here doing what we're doing. We're going to be in, we will put something out there about the portfolio reviews. That is something that will happen. We've got some other cool, exciting stuff, some interesting guests that'll be coming up here in these next couple of weeks and months. And and we'll be doing what we do, and we're not hard to find otherwise. And we'll just see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. See y'all soon.